welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Thank you, Jesus. If you're following it in a Bible this morning, I'm going to speak from the book of Romans. The book of Romans is something that Paul, the apostle, wrote. Actually, we think he wrote it to the Christians in Rome. It's possible he wrote it from Rome. But that's not really important. But in chapter 1, Paul continues talking to the believers. Now, we've been talking here over the past 3 weeks. We did 3 weeks ago, well, not here, actually, at the library, but so's how comfortable I feel already. Hallelujah. We talked about the saturated sponge. That was when the Holy Spirit just poured out upon us that morning. Okay, and then we had 2 weeks, one of taking captive every thought, which was about how to walk in what God had released on us. And I know that people were doing that. And then also, last week, if you look it up on the internet, it's been called Stop It. But it was about taking down strongholds, yeah, in our lives. Things that build up, that prevent us from walking in the fullness of what God has done for us. Amen? Now, what the verse that I was going to start with is, in the NIV it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. That's Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why am I not ashamed? Because it is good news. Yeah. You know, a lot of people think it's bad news, or they get worried about it or fearful about it or what it might mean for them. But the bottom line and the top line is this is good news. It's not to control someone. It's not to make them do things. It's not to try and turn them into some robot automaton. It's actually to let them be the very person that they were created to be in the first place. Amen? Amen. And it's been interesting. I don't know if you saw that it got in the Scarborough Evening News yesterday. Praise God. Nice of them to put it in. And it's also online if you've not seen it. It was on their front page on their online as well. And if you go on there, you'll see some very interesting comments, as you might imagine. In fact, it's quite funny. I mean, there's about four guys and go under various names, which I won't repeat. You know, they're sort of just daft names as their login name. And if you go through different stories on the Scarborough Evening News website, you find that they're negative about every single thing, whether it's bad or good or celebrating something. They've always got something bad to say. Yeah, and we're not the, and we're, they have very kindly made sure that we're not the exception. One guy says, this lot are terrible. Make sure you check out their website. Thanks. And other such things as be afraid, be very afraid. See, Chris, you are scary. Hallelujah. I think that one guy compares us to Islamic fundamentalists, except that we are a far more genuine threat to our way of life. Hallelujah. Well, as far as last time I checked, we haven't got a Sharia law, and we don't carry bombs either, if we're that extreme. Hallelujah. But also other such quotes as truly scary and be afraid. You know, I thought about this and I thought, well, actually, I think we are a threat to the way of life. You know, he's right. Because those who feel lonely and are miserable and feel unloved, maybe they've been through some divorce that's just left their lives a wreck. I reckon they want their way of life changed. They want to know that someone loves, someone cares. They need their life transformed. Who wants to be stuck in that way of life? What about people who've got no hope for the future? There's a lot of despair. You know, people who really don't know what's going to happen. They don't know where it's going to go. And perhaps their best friend is their television set. You know, and really they just fill their nights full of television, and they think that Graham Norton knows them personally because that's the closest they get to an engagement with another human being on some kind of level. You know, well, yeah, we are out to change that way of life, but not by force. It's just if you want to, you know. We just want to put something before people and say, look, this is actually quite good, and what you've thought about it in the past might not be completely true. Right. Have you ever thought about that? Sure. But, yeah, changing the way of life, it's quite widespread. People that feel useless or washed up or downtrodden, you know, and Jesus comes along and we stand in his place to do his work for him and says, no, actually, you're precious. You're honored in his sight. You are worth something beyond comparison. If there was a field and you were the only person in it, a tiny little pearl in the field, Jesus would give up everything to buy the field just to get you. because you're special. Every individual is special, is honoured, is valuable. I think that's a great thing to change. You know, if it's about changing our way of life, well, if you're talking about the culture that we have of excessive drinking and people ruining their lives with alcoholism and getting themselves into stupid accidents and things like that because they've just had so much to drink. It's not just that they're getting tipsy or having a good time. Some people are having so much. You know, well, I'm not pointing a finger at them. I'm not judging them. If they want to do that, that's fine. In fact, Street Angels is actually, in one way, we actually help people to do it. But what we're trying to do is help them and show that somebody does care. Yeah. You know? And that sort of level of drinking leads to antisocial behavior and even violent crime. Well, how about changing that way of life? You know? But what about the level of fear that's on of people at home that don't dare go out because of young people on the streets? There's a level of fear. How about we change that where people are no longer afraid and we help people to engage with young people and we help young people to have things to do and provide activities for them along whatever way we can, you know? We're beginning with youth angels. It's not a grab them and thrust the gospel down the throat thing. We might not even get to talk about Jesus. It's... let's do something for our town. Let's see if we can make a difference. So, yeah, we might be a genuine threat to the way of life of antisocial behaviour and excessive drinking and young people that don't have anything to do. We might be a challenge to families that are breaking down, to marriages and partnerships that can't stay together any longer because nobody is there to say, well, actually, there is a way to get through this. We could talk through this. There are strategies and ways to communicate and to help you out. So, maybe we are changing people's way of life.
Yeah, definitely.
Jesus certainly came to change our way of life.
Right.
He came with something good.
Amen.
So I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
It's the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. Salvation means put into a place of safety. You know, a place of deliverance. A place of where you're safe from danger and destruction. That's why we've got that verse that God gave us right at the beginning of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire 3.5 years ago. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Okay, you are safe in God.
Yes.
You put your family in God and your family is safe.
Amen.
You know? Praise God. In the truth version that I've got here, it says, I could never be ashamed of believing and proclaiming the gospel because I know that it is God's powerful way of making salvation available to everyone who believes in Jesus. First the Jews who came as who he came to as man, then for the people of other nations. All who believe the good news of Jesus are saved because they are placed in a right relationship with God, regardless of who they are or what they've done in the past. This is good news.
Yeah.
This relationship with God can only be received as a gift from him. We do well to remember that. This is why we as Christians can never in any way whatsoever feel superior to anyone else. How can you feel superior just because you've got a gift? You know? And it's given to those who place their faith in Jesus, who Jesus is and what he has done for them. It's a matter of faith from beginning to end. Nothing we could ever do by our own efforts could ever make us pleasing to God or place us in a relationship of righteousness with him. Of being made fully acceptable to him. This is borne out by the fact that scriptures declare that those who are acceptable to God will live by faith. To appreciate this good news, you also have to understand the bad news. That God's anger towards the sin, ungodliness, and wickedness in which people indulge is revealed from heaven. Yes, this anger is as real as his love. That's why it's good news. Okay, God is not just a fuzzy Santa Claus. He does get angry with the mess that people impose on other people's lives. But his anger is not sort of, it's not a human anger where we get angry and we start saying nasty things and we do things we regret and maybe we get violent and all that kind of stuff. His anger is controlled by that intense, impassioned love that you have. Because anger itself is not a sin. The Bible just says, in your anger, do not sin. Okay? Don't get out of control. Don't do things you're going to regret. But you can get angry over things that are wrong. You know, I get angry with the with children who are being abused. But if I start going out and trying to enforce the law and beat people up, it's not going to do anyone any good. You know, I get angry when people stand up and say things that are just completely against the guidelines that God has given us, and they're going to leave people into destruction. There's an anger. But if I let that anger rule me, if that anger starts coming out in snappy comments or sharp comments, then I've not got love. And God is love.
Amen.
And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, and it's good news.
Amen.
But there is a bad news message. You know? God wants everyone to be completely restored to him. He doesn't want to remain angry with anyone in any circumstances whatsoever. So he made the way by Jesus Christ. He said, this is the way. This is the sacrifice. This is the payment for everything that's gone wrong. He's done it for you, and he'll take all of that for you if you just believe in him, if you just have faith in him. You say, well, what is this faith? How can I get this faith? Faith is just saying, yes, okay. Sometimes faith is strong and sturdy, and sometimes faith is sort of, well, I'm not really sure, but it seems all right. I'm going to go for it. It's still faith. You know, sometimes faith becomes this enormous thing in people's lives. They say, I need more faith. If only I had more faith. Jesus said, faith as small as a mustard seed. Tiny little mustard seed. He didn't mean a mustard seed. You know, once you've been following me for 56 and a half years, and you've got enough faith, then you're really going to see things happening. Until then, just struggle on. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, go and jump in the sea, and it will be done for you. Amen? Hallelujah. So we were looking at, in the taking captives, this verse. And it's where Peter has had the revelation, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God.
Yeah?
And then Jesus says, wow, Peter, upon this revelation in people's lives, I will build my church. Okay? The revelation that you are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Why is that so key? Because if he's not that, then Christianity is a waste of time. There's no power to enable you to live the life that he's called you to live. There's no sacrifice been made to enable you to even get there in the first place. It's all a complete waste of time. It's just another interesting, flawed philosophy that you can study. And some people treat it like that. But it's not a study, it's a man.
Amen.
It's a man who came and said, I'm God. I'm the Son of God. And Peter got this revelation direct from God. And then Jesus said, yeah, I can build my church on this. And if you take that truth and apply it to your life, and this is taking captive every thought, like Shona was saying, in every situation, realizing that Jesus Christ is your bedrock. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay, the Greek is a funny old tense there. What it basically is saying is, whatever has already been bound in heaven, you can bind on the earth. And whatever has already been loosed in heaven, you can loose on the earth. Okay, but you can't just go around saying, I fancy a Ferrari, so I loose a Ferrari into my life. Okay, and I need a covered swimming pool in my garden, because we're Scarborough, there's not much point having an outdoor one, is there? So I need a covered swimming pool in my garden, loose one from heaven. Okay, that's kind of a prosperity gospel that's got a bit bent and twisted. God wants us to prosper. He wants his children to have good things and good stuff, but he also wants it in a way so that we can go and bless others. God is not a poverty God. All right, he prospers us in that way. All right, so, but it's what's already in heaven we can release. It's like we've got a key. All right, what does a key give you? It gives you access to something that before was locked up, that nobody could get a hold of. Or you put something in the place and you lock it so that nobody can get it. All right? And that's the authority Jesus has given us. If there's stuff going on, which is not what you'd find in heaven, so if there's sickness in people's lives and there's sickness that goes on, if there's poverty in people's lives and poverty goes on and struggle and abuse and all these things, one of the things we're doing is say, well, we're going to take that and we're going to stick it in this strong room and lock it with the key, because we've been given that authority.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
The other and similarly, we go into heaven with this huge key, all right, that fits all the locks. So you think, right, we need healing. Where's the, then, here's the room. You'd think they'd oil things in heaven, wouldn't you? And you can go into the strong room and take out the healing. Take out the answer to the need. Take out the victory that you need. All right, that's all it is. It's not, this faith thing is not some, if I worship God long enough. You know, experiencing the Lord like we did this morning, didn't we? In the worship is wonderful. It does build us up, it encourages us, and, you know, we need that. We need to experience the Lord. But if our walk with Him is just based on our experience, we're not going to get very far. It's got to be based on the Word. All right, and the piece of word that we've been looking at again and again is this take captive every thought. Because why? Because it enables you to come into such a great place of freedom. That taking captive is basically unlocking some jail and sticking those negative stuff in there or those depressing stuff in there or whatever it is and shutting the door and locking it and saying, I'm not having that. That's not mine. That's not in heaven. So I'm binding it here on earth. Amen? Hallelujah. You're right out there.
Yeah.
A bit quiet. I need some amens and encouragement and smiles. Some of you probably not smiles. Hallelujah. How about a dodgy joke? That might make you smile. A dodgy joke. There's an old couple sitting at home. And they're sitting in the room, gently rocking themselves away. And the husband says to his wife, Martha, because that's her name. Martha, what's happened to our sexual relations? And she says, after a moment's thought, I don't know, dear. Don't think we even got a Christmas card from them this year. Told you it was dodgy. Only slightly. I like that one. Take captive that thought. We've got to shut down the negative and open up the positive. The joke's got absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I thought and thought and thought there must be a way. It wasn't. I thought I'd just tell it anyway because you looked a bit quiet. And we needed a few smiles out there. We've got to shut down the negative and open up the positive. Come on. If you've got the keys to the kingdom of heaven, what are you going to unlock? What's in heaven that you want? All right, because what if it's in heaven, you've got the authority personally and us corporately as a church to grab hold of the key and unlock it and say, come on down. Okay, we want some of that. And Jesus is in heaven saying, at last, they're using the authority that I gave them to unlock what is in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, but walks of righteousness, walks of holiness, joy, peace, love, families that are working together. All this is in heaven.
Amen.
A building.
Amen.
We're halfway there now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go and unlock it. Favor, health, prosperity, salvation, hope, future, purpose, destiny. Dare to dream.
Yes.
I believe somebody's got a vision like that. Hallelujah. How do you dare to dream? You dream, but then you take hold of it. You unlock and you go on in. Hallelujah. But how do you use these keys? I'll tell you. Because this is the legal basis, if you like, of the new covenant. It's like the contract that Jesus has given you. So the key to earth the glory of God represents authority. We hold the key, so we enforce the contract. If you take out a natural contract in this world with people, if people start to disobey the contract, you can get the lawyers out and the solicitors out, and you can enforce the contract that you had as an agreement between you. You say, this is in the agreement, so you've still got to do it. And if you don't do it, the full weight of the law is going to be down on you. Or in this day and age, I'll sue you. Okay? Well, you haven't got to sue God. Because he's not going to dishonor the contract. Okay? So you can enforce that contract, take hold of that contract, take hold of that key. Now, Psalm 107, all right, verse 20 says, he sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. What did he send forth? His word. How do you enforce a contract? By His word. Not by our words. Jesus said, the words I speak, the only words I speak are the words that the Father gives me. Because He knew that those were the words that had authority. He was in such a good relationship with His Father that He knew what He was saying was coming straight from the Father. It's not our words. It's His words. How do we know if they're His words or not? Well, they're going to be in here. It's not a magic formula. It's not that you've got to use the exact translation or the exact principle or go and learn Hebrew or Greek. All right? But it's what's written in the contract. Now, Luke, let's go to Luke. Here's Jesus doing exactly the same thing as we've just said, with words. It's taking captive every thought. It's not just coming with a new thinking process. It's verbalizing. That's what prayer is. It's speaking out what it is that you're loosing from heaven or binding on the earth. So if it's health, I'm taking hold of the health that I have in heaven. I release that health in my body right now. That's what it is. That's authority. Or when you pray for somebody else, it's the same thing. You're not begging God.
That's right.
You're not trying to twist God's arm to do something. You're just standing there with His authority, and laying hands on just shows that you're using authority when you're praying. If you put your hands on somebody and you just say, I release healing in your body. Not, please God, heal Auntie Maggie now. All right? God's already made everything available. Let's see how Jesus does this. This is verse 30. Jesus then returned to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, where He taught the people on the Sabbath. They were amazed because He delivered His message with such authority. So He's going to show that authority. There was a man in the synagogue who was under the control of a demonic spirit. He shouted at the top of his voice, "Why are you disturbing us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, Jesus doesn't want something like that going around saying the truth. All right? We don't need that. Because if you let that happen, then it will start to be twisted. That's how the enemy works. He gives you truth to begin with and then starts to twist it, so you end up in a trap. All right? The next bit. Oh, please be quiet. Don't do that, darling. No. He didn't do that. He didn't do that either. Silence! Jesus commanded the demon. Come out of him! Immediately the demon threw the man to the ground in front of everyone and then came out of him without harming him. Everyone was astonished and questioned amongst themselves. What is the authority and power behind this man's teaching? That he can give orders to evil spirits and they obey him immediately. They have to leave those that are afflicted. News of such events spread rapidly throughout the entire region. Silence, Jesus commanded. He didn't just do it on the quiet. He used His authority to release, or in this case, bind the enemy's power here on the earth because it was already bound in heaven. He wasn't waiting for a special word from God the Father. It was an established word He knew He was already living in. He got the revelation that He was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and that was the rock He was standing on, and it couldn't be moved. So He used it. He uses it again almost immediately afterwards. It goes on leaving the synagogue, Jesus went to Simon's house. His mother-in-law had a high fever, and they asked Jesus to heal her. So He leaned over her. Now, this poor lady, Simon's mother, she's ill. She's lying down. She's feeling poorly. In comes Jesus, the compassionate man of God. So obviously, you know, He's going to come over to her and say, there, dear, how are you feeling? Yeah, you look really bad. Did you want a glass of water? Okay, perhaps we should pray for you. Shall we pray for her? Everybody just gather round. Dear Lord, this is really bad. She's shaking her because she's laughing. Look ill! Dear Lord, we pray if you could, maybe today or tomorrow or sometime in the future, if it's not too much trouble, because we know you are a healing God, please heal. Sugar paramasulura baradama. Obviously, that's what Jesus did. And after they prayed in tongues for 3.5 hours, she was better. No, it says here, so he leaned over her, rebuked the fever. Now, in my book, a rebuke wasn't just, be healed, sweetheart. Was it? It was, fever, get out of her. Or some such thing. He addressed the fever. Okay? And maybe he said, be healed. In my name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, by the way, is not a little magic three words that you stick on the end of a prayer. You know, be healed in the name of Jesus. That's more than three words, but I meant in Jesus' name. You know, we say it a lot. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. You know, you think, aha, that's it. I've added the words on. That gives it a bit more oomph. Okay, I'm not really against that. I do it myself, you know. But actually what it means is standing in the place of Jesus. It means it's as if you were Jesus when you do it. Okay? And you've got the authority because you're standing in the name of Jesus. If you come in Jesus' name, it is as if Jesus has come to you. Okay? When the sergeant has got the troops lined up in front of him and he's telling them to do whatever, you know, turn left, turn right, march here, march there, stand up, sit down, whatever he tells them, okay, they all obediently do it, not because of just the sergeant, although with some sergeants maybe that is true, but it's not just because of the sergeant, it's because of the authority structure that is behind him, all the way up to the senior authority in the land. And he knows that that sergeant might be a pipsqueak, but it's irrelevant because he stands in the authority of the nation. Well, so when he tells him, right, go, he goes, or he'll be in trouble. Yeah. All right, the sergeant is in the name of the authority of the land, in the name of the queen or in the name of the general, depending on how you want to think of it, in the name of Her Majesty's government. He's got the authority. A policeman on the streets, you know, when they're directing traffic, they're not in sort of some kind of magic armor, you know, that they just stand there. Ha ha, a bit like the force, you know. Car, stop. And go left. You know, it's not. He's just in the authority of government of this nation. Yeah, yeah. So he can stand and redirect. But even a lollipop person, all right, when they're standing on patrol with the children, they've got authority over the children to say, no, you can't cross the road. Even the parents who sometimes stand there muttering, we do know how to cross roads. They come under the authority of the lollipop. Okay, and when the lollipop steps into the middle of the road, even the cars have to stop because of the lollipop. Okay, because the lollipop says, this is authority. I am in the name of authority. You know, and it might be some retired little old lady or whatever. It doesn't matter what they're like physically. You know, you might personally be very weak in whatever way, but when you stand in the name of Jesus and you say stop or release or go or come on, you have it in the name of Jesus and it's going to happen. And Jesus just demonstrates it with Simon's mother-in-law. He doesn't get all soft and compassionate and leave her in her sickness. He thinks, I'm coming here to release from heaven what she needs into her life. I'm going to release healing. I'm going to bind that power of that sickness and get rid of it. I'm going to lock it away. Amen? And he does it. And it says, she was able to get up immediately and prepare a meal for them all. So it had an added bonus. But that's part of the problem that we do have sometimes in the church. There's so many people wanting prayer for something that instead of making the meal, instead of doing the work that God has given us, instead of living according to the calling, instead of taking captive over the thoughts that drag them down, that say, oh, I didn't like it that way, that was a bit loud, or I didn't like that tune, or, you know, all this stuff that can go around and, no, I'm taking captive of that. Yes, we're going forward together. Everything's not absolutely how I like it. It never will be. And if it is, I'll probably get bored of it. So I'm going to take captive those thoughts. I'm going to be where God's called me to be. And we can go forward together.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We can go forward together.
Yes.
God's got some great adventures for us.
Amen.
Amen. And we want to be fully part of it.
Yes.
We do want to change the way of life in Scarborough.
Yes.
Not with an enforcement, but with a, I've got something that's good. Are you interested? Do you want to take part in this meal? It's like an invitation to dinner. You can say yes, you can say no. And if you go, you can eat the food, and the food that we have to offer comes from heaven. It's going to taste brilliant.
Amen.
You're going to love it. You can stuff yourself on all the goodness that we've got.
Amen.
So he leaned over, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She was able to get up immediately and prepare a table for them all. And so he's taken these two parts of authority, and it releases this great wave of people coming to see and be healed. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all those suffering from a variety of sicknesses. He laid hands on each one and healed them. You know, we will not rest till we see every person healed. What's the point of a message of healing unless if you're aiming lower? Okay, we've got to break through. We've got to break through, and so we're living in that completeness of that open heaven among us, that opened, unlocked heaven of healing being received. Okay, for people that come, whether they give their lives to the Lord or not, that's not what it's about. It's about having compassion. Everybody here didn't suddenly start following Jesus, yet he healed every one of them. You know, and we want to see people healed. It's not about, oh, well, you know, some people aren't healed, and is it a false message, and do you give people false hope? No, we just give people hope. You know, that'd be like saying to doctors, don't do operations or don't give medicine because it might not work. You know, they give it because they're hoping it will. But we're moving from hoping to believing. Well, we know we're releasing health and healing. You know, we live, we are surrounded where we live by unbelief. All right. So because we're surrounded by unbelief, it makes it just that little bit harder. It's like a shell of unbelief that we've got to penetrate through and get God on them instead of getting unbelief on us.
Yeah.
Amen? Are you getting something out of this today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's still following on, really, from the take captive stuff. Any system of thinking that does not have hope or which feels hopeless is a stronghold that needs destroying in your life. You know, last week we were taking down strongholds. And strongholds come through worldly thinking, something that's imposed on you as a child. And sometimes you find yourself going back into a negative pattern of thinking again and again and again. Realize it's a stronghold and do what we did last week and take authority over it. Bind the power of that stronghold and release the power of heaven. You know, sometimes it's just the experiences that we've been through. You know, people struggle in relationships because they expect to get rejected. Realize it's a stronghold, and now you're overcoming it. So yeah, we are a genuine threat to the way of life. Remember, God builds with the stones that others have rejected. Amen? So if you've been rejected, you qualify. If you haven't been rejected, you qualify. Hallelujah. Why would anybody not want what Jesus offers? Because they don't understand what Jesus offers. That's the only reason. They might think it's rubbish or worthless or made up fairy stories. That's a reason for rejecting it. But for probably just about everybody sitting here today, you know, actually, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you've been listening this morning and you realize that you don't know Jesus, you've never had this experience of being able to overcome the negative. I'm not saying that you won't ever have that as a Christian, because you might, but you've got something within you that helps you overcome. If that is you, don't go home today without talking to somebody, just saying to them, you know, how do I get to know this Jesus? When we finish at the end here, there's Brian and Shona you saw earlier up here, down the front here. Just come down the front on this side and they'll have a quick chat with you. A about what the next step is for you. And if you are a believer and you haven't been baptized, get yourself seriously challenged about that as well. Is this the right time for me? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, praise God. We're going to have the band back up again.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.